talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. Look at somebody and say, it's the good news. And I love this picture that my brother took this week, so I'm using it as my title slide. So give Matt a big hand clap. God, man, he captures. He's always at the right spot at the right time and gets some good pictures. So thanks, brother. I always rob him off his Facebook and use him in my PowerPoint presentations, and he gave me the permission to do that. But today we're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And there's a passage of Scripture, and I want you to turn to, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and John chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 15 and John chapter 3. And then if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, you can put 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to give you 3 points today concerning this about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4, and this is what it says. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Okay, the first thing that Jesus did was he died for our sins, all right? That's number one, according to the Scriptures. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church, and he's also talking to us too. And that he was buried, okay? So he died, he was buried. We know that he was in the tomb for 3 days. And then on the third day it says, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that's the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And for you to be saved, all you have to do is that believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And everybody said, amen. Here in a little bit, we're going to baptize Bryce. And Bryce came up to me last week and said, Pastor Mark, I'm ready to follow the Lord in water baptism. He's never done it, and we're going to get that done today. And I just want to say this to everybody here that's listening to me. If you haven't done it, it's time to get her done, okay? Not only the Bible talks about repent and be baptized, all right? I believe that the next step after you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the next step that you need to do, your next step of obedience, is to follow the Lord in water baptism. And somebody asked me one time, well, Pastor Mark, can I get to heaven without being water baptized? Yes, you can, but it's very important to do it. Why put it off? Amen? And it does something to you. It's not just getting wet. It does something on the inside of you. There's something very powerful that happens in those baptism waters. It spirit, soul, and body, it just does something for you. You need to do it if you haven't got it done, all right? I can remember I got baptized when I was 9, okay? And later in life, how old are you, Bryce? 23. I was the age 23. Jade and I had been married. We got married when we were 22. We got married 8/22/92, and we're both 22. Man, the deuces were wild that day, all right? We got married, and after 1 year of marriage, I can say that I found out I needed Jesus. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about if you've ever been married, okay? You find out, when you get married, you find out, I need Jesus. I need somebody else in this marriage helping me out. And Jada was baptized earlier in life as well. I was too. We started attending a church together in Elk City, and we just felt the tugging of the Lord that, hey, we need to do this again. And so at the age of 23, we follow the Lord in water baptism. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't done it, get her done, okay? All right, this next scripture, most of you, if you've been around church any length of time, grew up in the Bible Belt, you've heard this scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Most of you can quote that, have that memorized. That is a powerful scripture. That is the gospel in a nutshell, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right, today what I'm going to talk about in this gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, is I'm going to talk about death today, all right? A lot of times we don't ever talk about death unless there's a funeral, and that's when we're all, you know, it's right in our face, and we talk about it then. I'm going to talk about it today during church on a Sunday morning, because one of the things that we all have in common in here, every one of us in here, is that we're going to die. not unless Jesus comes back. Now, I'm one of those that believe Jesus is coming back in my lifetime, all right? We're all believing for that. But if he doesn't, one of the things that we're all going to face in here is that we're going to face death. Now, here's the deal. We don't know how we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. I was thinking the other day, you know, my term life insurance expires, and Jaden needs to know this. My term life insurance expires when I'm 95. I'm living it to at least then, okay? but we don't know. We sit around here and we think, well, I've got time. If you haven't repented yet, I've got time to do that on my deathbed. No, you need to do it today. Today is the day of salvation. And so I'm going to talk about death, and I'm going to give you three things when I talk about this today, and it's going to end good because we're going to end with getting Bryce baptized. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number one. Part of death is bad news, okay? Part of death is bad news. I can remember, and I want you to think about this too with me, because every one of you in here has probably had, if you've lived any length of time on this planet, then you've had a loved one pass away. And I want you to think about, you know, where you were at, what you were doing when you heard the bad news of a loved one passing away. And I just jotted down a few in my own life. One of them was my Grandma Myrtle. My Grandma Myrtle lived up here across the street from the school. A little old lady. She was probably about this tall. She's a little bitty thing. And what I loved about my Grandma Myrtle is whenever I had a basketball game, this is going to date me, whenever I had a basketball game or a baseball game, my parents lived 15 miles northwest of Leedy out on Powwow Creek. But they didn't, back then, parents didn't go to every ball game like they do today, right? And so Grandma, yeah, that's like a shocker to some of these young people. And so Mom would tell me that, okay, we're not going to be able to go to the game, so when you get home, you're going to have to stay, because it'd be on a weeknight, you're going to have to stay the night with Grandma Myrtle. And I love staying with Grandma Myrtle because she was so sweet, and she'd always get up early in the morning for me and cook me a big old breakfast every morning. How many of you had a grandma like that? I'm telling you, it was awesome. And I'd be laying in there in bed early in the morning, and I could hear her in there in the kitchen moving around and cooking me breakfast, and I'd get up, and we'd have breakfast together and visit. And she was just such the sweetest little lady. She was one of the ones that I know that gave me one of my first Bibles. And in the back of that Bible, I didn't see it until after she had passed away, but in the back of that Bible, she wrote down Romans 8:28 to me, which that scripture has been one of my life scriptures, that God will work it all together for the good. And I love that scripture. But my little grandma went home to be with the Lord, and it was back when Jada and I were dating. And we were teenagers, we were dating, and one summer during college, we'd went out to Red River, New Mexico, and we worked all summer, didn't bring home a dime, but we had fun. We worked out in Red River, New Mexico, and we worked at Fry's Old Town. Have you ever been to Fry's Old Town in Red River, New Mexico? I got to do the gunfights and all that kind of stuff. It was fun to shoot the guns and load the guns. We had a good time, but I'll never forget, my mom called me. This was even before cell phone, guys. My mom called me on a pay phone that we could use there, and I actually called Mom back home, and she told me that Grandma had passed away. And so I told her, I said, Jade and I need to come home? And she said, no, Grandma would want you to stay there and finish out what you're doing there. So we stayed there, and I'll never forget that, because I didn't get to attend her memorial service. I was there in spirit, but I didn't get to attend it personally. And my grandma is in heaven today. And the good news is I'm going to see her again, because she knew the Lord as her Savior. But when I first heard that, guys, it was bad news, because I remembered all the times that she cooked me breakfast, and I cried and wept, and hey, that's a part of grieving. We need to do that. That's a part of the healing process too. Then here just last summer, during COVID, my mom called me, and we were in the mountains again on a family vacation, and my mom called me again and told me that my granddad, Jimmy Wilson, had passed away, and just tore me up, because it was bad news. And I remember the times, you know, the fun times I have with my granddad, and he'd take my brother and I up in the mountains, and it was just so fitting that I was in the mountains when I heard about his passing. And and that was bad news, and I was sad at the same time. And then, guys, and I know our community, and the reason why I'm bringing this message today is because I know our community has been hit hard with death over the past this month. And Matt called me last week on a Monday morning at 6 a.m., and when I rolled over, I was still in bed, and I rolled over, and I saw that it was my brother calling me. I just knew immediately, this is not going to be good news. This is something's happened in our family or something, and it's going to be, and he told me about Angel and Stacy, and they're in heaven today as well because they were believers. And then just the other day, Jade and I had been standing and believing with the family. It was Tammy Hilton. Some of you heard about her. She went home to be with the Lord the other day. And, you know, just seems here lately it's just been a lot of death. And I was at one of the first funeral that was here for Tom Flowers Friday before the weekend of Angel and Stacy's memorial services. And I was sitting by a guy, and he told me, he said, Mark, I was counting them up on the way here of people that are close to me. I've been to 7 funerals this last month. And he goes, you know what? I'm tired of death. I'm tired of funerals. And I said, amen, brother. I know what you're talking about. And but here's the deal. Death is a part of the fall. And we're all going to face it, not unless Jesus comes back before then. But the part of the even though these were bad news when I first heard them, it turned to good news later on when I reminded myself that my grandma Myrtle's in heaven waiting on me. My granddad Jimmy's in heaven waiting on me. I know that Angel and Stacy both knew the Lord. They're in heaven waiting on us. I know that Tammy Hilton knew the Lord. She's in heaven. You know, I know all these things. And so that helps hearing that initial shock of the bad news. The good news is what Jesus did for us at the cross. Now, I want to read a scripture to you that you've probably never heard in church, or a passage, because I just want to read this to us all today, because this is the gospel, and this is the other part of the gospel that's bad news. And this is John chapter 8, verses 21 through 24, and this is when Jesus is talking to the, quote, religious people of the day that thought they were right with God. And in verse 21, it says, then Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. There it is. You're going to die in your sin. Jesus died for our sins at the cross. It says, where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. They never knew what Jesus was talking about. They just didn't have a spiritual clue. Verse 23 says, and he said to them, you are from beneath, and I am from above. He says, you're of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so you've got to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died for your sins so that you can be saved. And everybody said, amen. I realize this on a Sunday morning, that the majority of the people that are here today that I bring a message to on Sunday mornings are believers, but not everyone. I want you to think about that. I don't know everyone in this room, know your spiritual condition. I don't know who's watching this online. I don't know who's going to listen to this on the radio. Not everyone. That's why I always do that prayer of salvation at the end. And that's why it's very important to talk about this every Sunday. We don't know when we're going to die. Death can happen. I want you to think about this, guys. Death can happen in the blink of an eye, in a heartbeat. That's how quick death can happen. And if you won't give your life to Jesus now, you won't give it to him on your deathbed. Statistics show that. If you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior now, especially in your teenage years and your youth, then as life goes on, there's something happens in a person. They just get further and further away from God, because they keep putting it off, thinking, I'll do that on my deathbed. I'll do that on my deathbed. Guys, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Amen? We're not guaranteed the rest of today. I do, some of you know this, some of you don't, but I do part-time chaplain work for a hospice company here in Western Oklahoma, and I enjoy doing it. It's a ministry because I know that that's something that God has put in my heart to do and to help people with. But I heard something this week that just grieved my heart. And of course, you know, they have to, when our nurses go in to do a, what they call a start of care, they ask them, would you like a chaplain? And some of the people here in Western Oklahoma know that's okay. I have my own church, my own pastor, which is great. But then there's sometimes people don't have a church home or have a pastor. And so, I like chaplain visits, you know, so I'll go and I'm pretty bold about it. I mean, my first conversation is with them is, do you have that blessed assurance of your salvation? Do you know where you're going? We have that talk. But this week, and so our nurses, when they do the start of care, they'll ask the family or they'll ask that person, if that person can talk, they'll ask him, would you like the chaplain to come and visit with you and pray with you? And so they'll let me know, Mark, they want you to come, or Mark, they have a pastor. But this week I heard a story that just hit me in my heart. One of our nurses asked the gentleman, said, do you want the, and they told me he's had, you know, kind of a rough life and stuff. So they said, would you want the chaplain to come visit you? And he said, you know what, let's just nix the chaplain. I was like, oh, God. And when I heard that, it just tore my heart out, because I'm like, is he ready? Does he know the Lord? And I'm praying for him, even though I can't go. He's not allowing me to go, and I'm praying that in this process he'll let me come into his home. But, guys, what I'm trying to tell you is some people don't even think about it on their deathbed. Today is the day of salvation. Look at somebody and say, today is the day of salvation. All right, here's number two. Part of death is sad news. It's bad news when you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, okay? It's very bad news. Part of death is sad news. When we hear of a loved one passing away, it makes us sad, and it's okay. God gave us those emotions, and you need to grieve, you need to cry, you need to do all those things. That's what brings healing. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 2, and then verse 4 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. That's for every one of us in here, guys. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Romans 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. What I've been telling all of us is, you know, we have, our whole community is grieving right now, is hush, hug, and hurt. Hush, hug, and hurt. Hush, hug, and hurt. And extend grace. Your first response to one another needs to be grace. When you're going through grief, is to have grace for one another, because everybody grieves differently. One day you'll have a good day, the next day you'll have a bad day. And so have grace for one another. The one thing I love about us as being Christians, even though when we hear about a loved one that passes away and it's sad news, one of the things that we have as Christians is we have hope. And the Bible talks about this, that we can grieve with hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We grieve, we're going to weep as Christians, but we can grieve with hope, because they're in heaven. And hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. I want to go to John chapter 11 for just a second. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. And I encourage you to go home, because I'm just going to read a few passages or a few scriptures out of this chapter. But I encourage you to go home and read John chapter 11. It's where Jesus is talking to Mary and Martha. It's when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He had died. And I'm just going to kind of jump in here, John chapter 11, verse 21, and then I'm going to read verses 32 through 35, and I'll put them up here on the screen. It says, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. All right, so immediately her brother has passed away, and she's mad at God. Verse 32 says, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, so here's the other sister, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So she's upset too. In verse 33, it says, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit. And I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then verse 35 is the shortest scripture in the Bible. It's got a subject and a verb. And it just says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. And I just want you to think about this for just a second, all right? When you read the rest of this story, you're going to find out that Jesus had got news that, he knew that Lazarus had passed away, and he waited 4 days to go to Mary and Martha's house. So Jesus didn't weep 4 days earlier, so why did he weep now? And here's the reason why. He saw how much Mary and Martha loved their brother and how much they were hurting and grieving. And I want you to know this. Jesus, even though he's fully God, he's fully man too, and he knows exactly what we all go through. And he understands grieving. When it talks about he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, he wasn't upset with Mary and Martha and the Jewish people that were there that day. But when you look up that word groaned in the spirit and troubled in the Greek, because the New Testament was written in Greek, it means to snort with anger and agitated. And I want you to realize this. Death made Jesus mad. Makes me mad too. I heard of a young person just here recently that was in their early 20s, and they passed away from stomach cancer. Guys, I hate cancer. I hate cancer. I hate death. I hate it. Death made Jesus mad because death had entered mankind through sin. God didn't create death. Sin did. For the wages of sin is death. And when it says groaned in the spirit and troubled, it means to snort with anger. I guess this is because it's the deer hunter in me. The bow season's coming up. How many of you ever had a doe snort at you? Yeah, okay. I want you to think about that. That's what Jesus does at death. That's what we need to do as well. Snorts at it, at anger, because it's not the way God intended for it to be. He didn't want people to be hurting and grieving. In heaven, there's not going to be any more death. I love that. No more grieving, no more crying. The other thing that I want to say here from John chapter 11, where it talks about Mary, you know, Lord, if you'd have been here, and Martha, Lord, if you'd have been here, don't let the enemy's very crafty at this, very good at this, but don't let the enemy get you mad at God, okay? Because God didn't create death. Everybody said, okay, we need to get mad at the enemy because that's where death comes from. And then here's another thing, is don't get upset with yourself, okay? Meaning don't live with regrets. There's so many times when you lose a loved one, you think, you know, like I can go back to my grandma Myrtle. I wish I'd have stayed with her more every ball game, you know. I wish I could have come back for her memorial service. But you can't live with those regrets. You can't be upset with yourself. And everybody said, all right, I know this is a heavy service today, okay? And when you talk about death, it's not just something that we jump up and shout about and all those things. And so I put in a funny story. Can I do that? Can I lighten up the mood in here just a little bit? Because it just seems, everybody's just like, oh my gosh, Pastor Mark's talking about death, you know. Can we have some hope today? We're going to get to hope in just a second, all right? But I never went to seminary. And now don't think that I've never studied. I've studied, okay? I've taken online courses and different things like that. And the Rhema School of Bible Correspondence, I've taken that and different things. And so I went to who we're associated with, Trinity Fellowship Association Churches out of Amarillo, Texas. And they used to have these weekend intensives where we would go and you could learn things, learn the Word. Like they may do a book of the Bible, and it'd be a Friday and a Saturday. Kind of, they'd do a Friday evening and all day Saturday. And so this particular time, they were doing a deal as how to be a pastor. So here I am. I'm a pastor. And I thought, you know what? I've never been to seminary, never been to any kind of. So I'm going to go into this class and learn how to be a pastor. And so we did, and they taught us, you know, about communion, how to serve communion, how to serve those emblems and all those things. They talked about, you know, weddings. They talked about funerals and the things that go with being a pastor and ministry and everything. Well, the best part of the class for me was they had a moment, and there was literally, it wasn't just talking heads up there, okay, that never had done it. These were guys that actually had been pastors or were pastoring at the moment. And so there was a time during our class that they said, okay, we know that this has been, you know, pretty intense this weekend for sure. You've been learning about, you know, weddings and funerals and communion and all these things. And so they got up there, and these pastors started telling their funny stories about what had happened in their ministries. And this one pastor got up and was talking about a funeral that he had. And I'm going to say one thing in here before I share this story, is if you're ever called upon to do a memorial service and you really don't know the person, you better find out what their real name is, okay? I heard a pastor say one time, it was actually Pastor Robert Morrison, he was talking about that he had a family member and he wasn't able to do the service, but he was able to go to the service, but he wasn't able to do the memorial service. And this family member's name was O.D., just the initials O.D. He said when we got to the service, the pastor didn't do his due diligence and didn't know that that was his name, was O.D., and so he called him Odd through the whole service. Oh, boy, hate to be that pastor. So do your due diligence and find out what their real name is before you do a memorial service. But anyway, get back to a funny story. Everybody ready for a funny story? All right, okay. This happened in a memorial service. It was actually a graveside service. And at this graveside service, this pastor was called upon, and they said, hey, we have a family. They don't have a pastor, and they had somebody in the family pass away, and they're just doing a graveside service, and they want you to do it. And because I'd mentioned, you know, this pastor was on the list of this funeral home, and they said, yeah, we'll ask him to do it. And so they called him up, and he came out there to the memorial service to do this graveside service. And he said, you know, this was a rough bunch. He said they were bikers. They had on the leather and all this stuff, you know. And he said, I did my due diligence and got to know some of the family members, so they kind of knew me. And we were standing up there, and he goes, we hadn't even started the graveside service. And he said, I'm standing up there at the head of the casket getting ready to start, and I'm waiting for the funeral home director to give me the nod to go ahead and get started. And he said there was a lady that came in, and she had on high heels. And if you've ever been to memorial service, you know, at the graveside, is they put that fake green grass, you know, around the casket and everything. And she come walking by, and she had on really high heels, and she slipped, and she fell, and she went straight down underneath the casket into the hole. And she starts screaming. Yeah. And he said, I'm standing up there at the head of the casket. I'm the pastor. Because I look at the funeral home director, and he goes, he just turns white. He said, so I have to reach down and help this lady up out of the hole. And then he goes, and then I had to do a memorial service. He said, but what was neat about it was this family, they all knew one another and stuff. And I guess it just erupted in laughter, you know. A bad day, a sad situation, but it turned out to be a good thing. And I'll never forget that story. So that's a funny graveside service. A lot of funny things can happen in church. Amen. All right, here's number three. Part of death is good news. Part of death is good news. And this is John 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And that's what Jesus told Mary and Martha that day about Lazarus, and then he raised him from the dead. Part of death is good news. One of the things I tell people at a graveside service, when I do a graveside service, because as a pastor, I have a lot of people ask me questions, and one of the questions I get asked a lot is, Pastor Mark, do Christians go to heaven immediately when we die? And the answer to that is yes, immediately. You just immediately. And there's an Old Testament scripture and a New Testament scripture that says, Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, the Spirit will return to God who gave it. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 says, we are confident, yes, well-pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And when you go to a graveside, when you go to a cemetery, they're facing the east, and there's a reason for that. It's a Christian burial. We bury them facing the east so they will meet Jesus at the second coming. We bury them with the end in mind, head to the west and feet to the east, because Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 27, he says, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. One of these days we're going to get new bodies, guys. You know, when you die, this body goes to the earth. Our spirit and soul go to God. And that then one day we're going to have a resurrection. We're going to have a new body. I can't wait to see my new body. I think I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the spirit when he was young. Okay. Here's some good final scriptures for you. Hebrews 2, verse 14 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." Jesus took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the enemy. All right, 1 John 3:8 says this, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And he did that at the cross. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10 says, "But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel," through the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then these last two scriptures today, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, "The last enemy that will be destroyed is death." Even though Jesus at the cross took the sting out of death, and what that means is he took the sting out of death, that means the eternal separation from God. All right, so when we die now, we're immediately in the presence of God as a believer. And then Revelation 21, verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And guys, I cannot wait for that day. Amen. I'm going to close. Of course, I'm closing several times up here, but I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture out of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, because it says, when you read this, this is the comfort of Christ's coming. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." I love how the Apostle Paul talks about death, just asleep. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I love that passage of Scripture. Now, I want to close with this, with something that has happened in my own life. Most of you here know our story. Our son had passed away back in 1998 when he was 18 months old, and it was just a freak accident, and what they call dry drowning is what happened. We later found out what it was. There was a time in there, and I was kind of like Mary and Martha. I was upset with the Lord. "Lord, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't happen. Lord, where were you? This wouldn't happen." And I had those thoughts. Those thoughts came, you know, God is good, that he helped me during that time, gave me the grace for the things that I was going through. But I definitely relate to Mary and Martha in that story in John chapter 11, because I had those conversations with the Lord. And I can remember one conversation that I had with him, and I hope this helps somebody here today, because I think this is going to help you turn the table, so to speak, in your grief journey, because it helped me. And because I hear people say this a lot when they have a loved one that passes away. Well, God took him. God took her. And I had that same thought, you know, and I told the Lord one day, I said, "Lord, why did you take my son, Jaden?" And he was only here for 18 months. You know, and we think, you know, because we think linear, we think time, we think all these things that we think here on this earth, that we think, well, I've got to live to be at least 85, 90 years old for me to fulfill my destiny. Some people can fulfill their destiny in 18 months. I saw my son do it, even though it was a freak accident that took him, but he fulfilled. He never even said a word, but through his life, God brought people into in our family into the kingdom of God. So when I was talking to the Lord about this, "Lord, why did you take my son?" this is what the Lord spoke back to me. He said, son, death is not of me. I am life. I didn't take your son. I didn't take him. And this is going to help somebody here today. I received him. I received his life, and his life continues for all of eternity with me, and you're going to see him again when I receive you. So that God don't take people, he receives people, because God is a giver of life. Amen? And he receives that life back into himself. The Lord took bad news, sad news, and turned it into good news because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news, is the gospel. Everybody believe in the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure, before we all go home today, that everyone here under the sound of my voice, and those that are watching online, those that will be listening to this on the radio, I just want to make sure that everyone here knows the Lord as their Savior. And Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said that what we have to do is we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer today, and it's called the Prayer of Salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. And we'll just repeat this prayer all together. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, you're saved because you did what? You confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your very next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. We have one today. I also know that we are going to have baptisms here on October the 31st. During harvest time. On that particular date, Cami Cantu will be here, but we've got a few more people that are getting baptized that day, so if you would like to get baptized, get with me after service, and we can get you hooked up for October the 31st. But I want Bryce to come up here with me this morning. Bryce, come up here and stand by my side. This is an awesome young man right here. I asked him if he wanted to say anything, and he said no. I love seeing all of his family here today, and I'm just really getting to know Bryce and Caitlin and this whole family, and just it's just been a blessing seeing them coming to church here and just what God's doing in their lives. I want to tell you that he owns New Creation Nutrition over in Weatherford, and you need to go check him out because it's a pretty cool place. Yeah, and the other day, Jade and I were there. I had to go over to fix my grandson's sandbox, and so I told Jazz, like, we need to stop my New Creation because I need one of their tees because that tee has liftoff in it, because I need some extra oomph to get this sandbox done because I had to carry sand in the backyard. So we stopped by there and got us some tees. We called Taya, said, Taya, what kind of tee do you want? But also learn something. Don't let your grandson drink any kind of the tea. Yeah, because he had a trouble going to sleep that night. And I got in trouble from my daughter, Taya. But anyway, we did that. And what was so funny was I went up to pay out, and you can, you know, leave a tip. So I left a tip, and all of a sudden Bryce goes, tip, tip, hooray! I was like, do what? And so that's what they do there. When somebody leaves a tip, they go, tip, tip, hooray. You know, I was just like, cool, that's cool. So here's what I'm saying today as his pastor. Hip, hip, hooray that he's getting baptized. All right. So I want to read this. I just feel like this is your life scripture, Bryce. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you'll find out why I think it's your life scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There it is, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's his scripture. All right, I want you to stretch forth your hand. We're going to pray over Bryce today. Father, I thank you so much for Bryce. I thank you for this young man. God, ever since him and Caitlin's been coming here, I just have seen your hand upon him. God, that you have great things for this young man and for his family. God, I thank you for all of his family being here today to witness this. God, and Lord, I thank you that he's received you as his Lord and Savior, and now he's taking that next step of obedience, and he's following you in water baptism. And your word says obedience in Deuteronomy 28 commands the blessings of God into our lives. And so, God, I thank you that you've been doing this, but it's just going to increase. You're going to be pouring out blessings and favor on this young man spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, relationally, in every area of his life, God, in Jesus' name. This is a new day for this young man. He is a new creation in you, God, and we bless Bryce today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, we're going to jump up here, and Jader, I'm going to have you come up here to take pictures. We got to take pictures of